welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls
on him. Hey, welcome to the church house. God could take your hurt out. Let him take your dirt out. Everything gon' work out. Why you asking questions, baby? Blessings stacked on blessings, baby. I'ma give my best to the day. Got take all of my breath, look, baby. I'm with all my Houston brothers. It's my kingdom music, brother. God placed you in leadership. You better not go abuse it, brother. Celebrate the next man. When you do, make sure your motives are pure. If you can't celebrate the next man, boy, you never get yours. Hey, hop out of traffic. You can have it if it's time to go. I cast that devil out. You hater, what you hiding for? If you ain't rhyming for the kingdom, why you rhyming then? That cat rap, you just lying then. But step aside and look like a
welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
I feel it in my bones while approaching the throne. Head and feet is where I've grown, never marching alone. I'm a soldier, scripture quoting, Bible toting, Jesus promoting, disciple coaching. My whole demeanor was hopeless, but now I'm a leader focused. Might as well be eating honey and locusts. Rocking camel skin the way I preach and repent. The kingdom of God's at hand, baptizing family and friends. Even dunk some former enemies in the water. My way clearly pleasing the Father. I'm talking Proverbs 16:7. Some call me pastor, others know me as their street reverend. Been loving Christ in size at least 7. Ran like the prodigal, but his pa gave me new life, no
C-section. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him.
He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
Look what God did in my life, I'm a walking testimony. I be shedding tears of joy because he blew his breath upon me. Ministry get busy, but I'm staying at your feet. I'm trusting in your will, I know you want the best for me. I'm bearing fruit till he pruned the branch, and I bear some more while I spirit dance. Put my life up in his hands and abiding you, this God's plan. Soldier walking with generals on front line, we fighting. My mind right, my heart pure, that oil flowing inside me. And yeah, my faith get tested still, but I know it's alright. That gon' give my God a chance to show out in my life. When you at the bottom, ain't nowhere to look but up. And we gon' give him glory. Hey, yo, welcome to the church.
Welcome to the church house.
Hey, welcome to the church house.
Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him.
He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
Yeah, welcome to the church, we got open arms, you can take a seat.
You good right here.
This is where it's love, spiritually it's good, you can feel the peace.
Feel it.
Gave his only son, put him on the cross, just for you and me.
You and me.
Think about his great sight, shed his blood for every human being.
Come on.
I know you won't heal it, life is trouble, you're sick of the pain.
Pain.
Come here, let me take you to Jesus, I promise you, he'll make you whole again.
Yeah.
His choice is free indeed, and he believes in open doors.
Yeah.
He give you eternal life, take away your eternal scars. Disciples walk with you, you become part of the body.
Yeah.
Shoulders to lean on, keep you encouraged on this journey.
We got
you hungry, we'll feed you. This is daily bread, the living water, you never thirst again.
Hey, welcome to the church house. 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 Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him.
He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
You was already in the whole
school. I know, but I was trying to get to my ex and everything. But that's all right.
Hello, and good evening, everyone. My name is Keela Freeman, and I would like to welcome all of you to Runners for Christ Ministries Advanced Bible Reading Class. We thank God for each one of you that join in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will be reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 2, with the following verses, 3 through 9, 15 and 16, and 22 through 24. We have related scriptures from Exodus, chapter 15, 13 through 18, Joshua, chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 31, and James, chapter tonight is Rahab and the Spies, and it takes place in Jericho at the mountains of Canaan in Shittim, and time is about 1405 B.C. The golden text is, truly the Lord have delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Amen. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, press the number one, and that will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to answer any questions or ask the questions or even make a comment. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all background noise to zero if possible. And a good way to do this is simply mute your phone when you're not speaking and unmuting when you want to speak. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another opportunity to come together and to study your word, Lord. We ask that you guide us as we study your word and learn to apply its truth in our lives every day. And we hope that you find our studies acceptable in your sight. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. Thank you. Can someone start with the scripture lesson text and read that for me?
Sure. You mean Joshua chapter 2, verses 3 through 9?
Yes.
Okay, it reads as follows. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here, spy out the whole land. Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up to the roof to talk with them. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. Amen.
Amen. And can someone read verses 15 and 16?
I'll well, read it if no one else is ready.
Okay, I'm ready. Can you hear me?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Wouldn't my pages be stuck together? Okay. You said read verses 15 and 16?
Yeah.
Okay, verses 15 and 16. Okay, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, and then someone, can you read the last three chapters, three verses?
Okay, I can read that. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua and son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Amen.
Amen. Thank everybody for reading for me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Okay, we're going to begin with the lesson exposition, which is the first, Joshua 2, 3 through 9, is the protection through rehab. That's on page 10. Do anyone want to read that one for me on page 10?
Sure, I'll read it.
Okay.
The king's order, Joshua chapter 2, verse 3. In order to prepare for what he faced, Joshua sent two spies to Jericho to see what their initial challenge in Canaan would be like. They arrived, no doubt by divine appointment, at the home of Rahab the harlot, who lived on the city wall. A report was sent to the king about their presence, and he immediately took action. So much for undercover work. The presence of the spies was detected immediately. The king of Jericho, suspecting that a local prostitute might be involved in undercover treachery, sent a message to Rahab to turn them over to the authorities. Gangle Holman, Old Testament Commentary. Joshua Broadman and Holman. We will soon learn that there was a great fear in the city of Jericho over the presence of the Israelites, so it is not surprising that the king hastened to take action when he heard about the two spies. The king knew that Jericho was just the first phase in the movement of the threatening nation. His observation that the spies had come to survey the whole land indicates this. Perhaps he felt a special sense of obligation, not only to his city, but to the entire land. If he could stop this, the land would be safe. If he failed to do so, everyone would be in danger.
Hello.
I'm just reading, and I thought I hit the unmute button. Okay. Rahab protected the spies sent by Joshua. God works on our behalf if we follow and trust him. And God will put people in place to protect us, just like she did with the spies, what Rahab did. With Joshua 4 and 5, it speaks of Rahab having great faith in Israel's God. And that was one of the reasons why God directed the spies to her. And although Rahab had to lie to the king's men to keep the spies safe, she did what she had to do, also putting her life in jeopardy as well. So God doesn't want us to lie, but again, she was doing it for God or on his behalf. And this shows, you know, her faith in God. And God did commend Rahab's faith. It's a term that I used to use, and I still use it to this day. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. So that's mainly what Joshua 2 through. Does anyone have a comment about that?
I like that, but I missed part of it. Would you repeat that? So if you take care of God's business, what?
God will take care of your business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's what I always say, and that's what I found personally to be true.
Right.
Yeah, if you're working for God, you know, he works on your behalf as well.
Mm-hmm. And that was part of that whole plan for them to even go to her home in the first place. So,
right, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then on page, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying he set it all up for her to be able to make that decision to do what she did. So that showed that she had faith in the God that they served.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then it also shows no matter how bad a reputation that you may have in the world, God can still use you. He can still use you in the way to show others, no matter. So you may think there's no hope because you did so many bad and hurtful things to people and to yourself, but this is an example of it doesn't matter. Just look what happened.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Thank you for bringing that out. Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay, I just want to say one more thing. Oh, Pastor Terry.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Rebecca. I'll wait.
Okay. I just want to quickly say that on page 13, it indicates that the wicked are not entitled to the truth if they intend to do evil when they learn it. So you go ahead, Pastor Terrence.
You know, I was reading this lesson and this lesson goes along with Luke chapter 6, verse 46, which says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do anything I say?"
Amen.
So, Rahab knew what she was doing, but she didn't follow the Lord directly. She went her own way.
Well, I admire the fact that
she
has faith without a Bible.
Yeah. But it goes to show you how we are today when God tells us to do something, we don't always follow his directions. We go our own way. So in a way, we're just like Rahab was.
Well, she might have did something wrong, but it was to the benefit of the Lord, though.
But in a way, Rahab still glorified the Lord no matter what she did, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Her intentions
right.
was good. She might her actions was good. She may have bought a win about it. We might think it's the wrong way, but it had to be the right way because those brothers survived.
Yes, it worked out.
I think he was talking about her lifestyle.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Mm-hmm. But she did the right thing when it came to the Lord, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I apologize, Brother
Terrence. Because before she even knew developed an intimate relationship with the Lord, she was living a lifestyle that didn't go along with the Lord's will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But with her faith and trust in the Lord.
There we go. There we go.
And even if it's a small faith that you have in the Lord, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was telling them you just have to have a mustard seed, a little bit, and that will take you a long way. You don't have to have a whole overabundance, just a little faith. And that would be good. I had that written down in my notes. I was going to talk about that later. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Okay. For your comments. Anything else before we go to the next set of scriptures?
She was an up and coming Christian. She was up and coming, so she was not all the way there, but she was getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God wants. He just wants us to come when we're ready.
And had that faith and trust in Him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, so the next. Is Joshua 2, verses 6 and 7. What I have for that, I think that just talked about Rahab being able to hide the spies. And then 8 and 9, it was to protection. And she talked with the spies. I guess we can read that. Can someone go to the lesson exposition and read 2 verses 8 and 9. On page 11, if you have the book.
The men's pursuit? Are you talking about the men's pursuit?
Okay, yeah, you can go back to 6 and 7.
I'm trying to figure out where you're at.
Did we read 2 to 4 times? May have lied.
No, I don't think we did.
No, but we discussed.
Yeah, she asked for someone to read Rahab's understanding, Joshua verses 2-8. So it's at the end on the first chapter, down there. Apparently, Rahab had hidden. Start there, Deacon. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, I'm gonna be quiet and listen.
Yeah, you have your book, Eric.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Would you read for me on 11?
Apparently, Rahab had hidden the men on the rooftop very soon after their arrival. We are not told exactly how their presence became known so quickly. Perhaps because Rahab was a harlot. There were men hanging around who spotted the newcomers right away. Somehow Rahab knew early on that the Israelite men were in danger, and she took the steps necessary to protect them. After the king's messengers left, Rahab went up to the roof to talk with the spies. What she said to them revealed important information about her own beliefs and the general attitude in Jericho about Israel's presence. Her information appears to be exactly what Joshua had sent the spies to find out. Rahab's statement of personal faith is quite clear, that she referred to Israel's God as Lord. In verses 9 and 10, indicates this. It is the Hebrew name Yahweh. How much she understood about that name, we cannot know. But it does indicate she had some knowledge of it and believed in the God the name represented. Furthermore, she believed fully that Yahweh had already given the land to, of Canaan to his people. How much faith did Rahab have? It was no doubt still, it was no doubt still small and incomplete, but she was acting on what she knew. Rahab then explained that all the inhabitants were terrorized by the presence of Israel. The word translated faint in verse 9 means to melt. The hearts of the people had melted in terror, into terror. With no trace of strong confidence remaining, they sensed that they were doomed with and without power to withstand what was coming. For they had heard of Israel's previous victories. And that was in verses 10 and 11 of it, about the previous victories. Amen?
Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay. So with those scriptures with Rahab's protection, she talked with the spies and communicated, sharing her faith as well as what she had, and also giving them information about the city, is that the majority, including the king, all of them were terrified of Israel. And how much of her faith, you know, we, like the book said, we don't know. But we know that she did have faith in Israel's God. And I, as I was saying before, just a little bit of faith is really all that you need. And that was also talked about, the mustard seed, was in Matthew chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. Let me see. Can someone go over to Matthew right quick, 17 and verses 20 and 21, and we'll read that just real quick.
Okay. You say 20 and 21?
Uh-huh. Matthew 17.
Yeah. You do not have enough faith, Jesus told them. I'll tell you the truth. If you had the faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Okay. Did anybody have anything wanted to comment on that section of the lesson? No? Okay.
Well,
okay.
Just real quick. I always say real quick, but it never be real quick. But real quick, I was trying to just sit there, but Rahab is just too deep, okay? Yeah, you know, and I heard y'all discussion about her, and you were exactly right. I don't know who's up-and-coming faith. That's exactly what she had, up-and-coming faith. She was operating off of the rumors, you know, off of the information that it came. You remember when Israel came out, they went through the Red Sea. They had bread falling out the sky, birds falling out the sky for food. Okay?
Right.
And they took out two powerful kings called Sihon and Og. And see,
right.
And then the Jordan River, right? And that's right near Jericho. And so they had heard about all these things. And there was that statement of faith that we believe that your God, she believed that their God was God, and he had given them the land. And so with that little, what Keila just had us read was so important, okay, because it's about that mustard seed of faith, and that is what she had. She had enough faith to save Israel. She had enough faith, okay, to protect the spies and carry out God's plan. Isn't it awesome? I heard Keila say this too, that God already has a protection already set up for us. When the enemy show up, the protection is already set up. He already got somebody somewhere to help us. God got people. Whenever you need them, they'll just pop out of the woodwork. Never met this lady. And this lady saved their lives. And see, the Lord is something else. He picked somebody, you know, people wouldn't think that much of. because there's some other stuff coming up in the lesson. I ain't going to mention that, but you'll see what I'm talking about. They didn't think that much of her, so they just listened to whatever she said. Oh, boy, that is faith right there. You know who else did that? Remember Penina and the other one when they told the Pharaoh that the babies was, it's different. These Egyptian women, I mean, these Hebrew women, their babies just pop out. Before we can get there, they lied to Pharaoh. But what they did was show more respect to God than they did to Pharaoh. And that's what that was all about. So that's why the Lord don't like lies. But in this case, who do I protect? Who do I respect? Who do I fear? Who do I reverence? I reverence the God of heaven. So I'll tell you lies because I don't care about
they
you.
Win, yeah.
She cared more about the God of heaven. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm just preaching. I just got a little fired up. Kayla, you got me fired up. Okay.
Thank you for that.
Kia.
Yeah. Is somebody calling me?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So can we go on to chapter 2, verses 15 and 16? And can someone read for me the escape?
I got you. Protection through careful planning. Joshua chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 22-24, escape. After pleading for our life and the lives of the loved ones to be spared, verses 12 and 13, and being reassured that they could be, on the first portion, we have to submit the wall outside the window by means of a rope. The location of our home was significant. And another reason God took the spies to the house, which is located on the city wall, became an avenue of escape for them. He had set fire to that spies hide in a nearby mountain for 3 days, allowing plenty of time for the pursuers to do their searching for them, and then return to the city. She showed her concern for their safety because for all she knew, they might try to get back to Jordan immediately and get caught in the process.
You're reading on the wrong.
Am I reading on the wrong page?
Yeah, but it says the same thing.
Yeah, it's okay. Pretty much the same thing. You're okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. For reading that. And what I got out is pretty much what he just about read, that she pleaded, Rahab pleaded for her life and the life of her family and her loved ones, that upon her helping them, is that she wanted to get reassurance that her family would be safe. And after, you know, they told her, yeah, you will be fine. And I think she set up, there was some type of code that was set up too, to keep her safe, that I think something was tied around her house or a window. So
I
that,
think it was a scarlet cord or something.
A scarlet, yeah. And that would indicate, you know, to keep her safe. When you are doing your destroying and doing what you're going to do, make sure this house and these houses are kept safe.
Right.
And then advice was given, you know, to keep them, the spies safe. So that was a, like I say, a master plan that they had. Okay, well, we will. If anybody, did anybody want to make a comment about that, or we can continue on.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we can continue. Can someone read? On page 12, chapter 2, verses 22-23.
Okay.
It says, when the spies left, they went into the hills and stayed there until the pursuers had completed their search and returned to Jericho. The Hebrew is somewhat tricky here. Old Testament scholars note that all that is required in the reckoning of 3 days is that some part of each day be counted. The point is that the entire adventure from the sending out of the spies to the return may have taken 3 days, Daniel. This would fit with the command given in Joshua 1:11. It is evident that the pursuers did a thorough job of trying to find them because they searched for them along the entire length of the road. The spies were safe because the mountain about 1/2 mile west of Jericho had limestone cliffs containing many caves, providing plenty of place in which to hide. After they were certain that the search for them had ended, they returned to Israel's camp, probably under the cover of darkness. When the spies arrived, they immediately sought out Joshua and gave him a detailed accounting of all that had happened to them. This would have included their being led to the house of Rahab, their being hidden by her luring them from the window in her home, their promise to her, and their stay on the mountain. Amen.
Amen. Okay, and the report in Joshua 2:24 reads as follows. The confidence of the spies contrasts sharply with the report given to Moses when the 12 spies were sent from Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 13. These two spies told Joshua that the Lord had already prepared the way for Israel to take the land of Canaan. In fact, they said God was giving them all the land. Then they used almost the same words Rahab had used in describing how terrified the inhabitants of the land were. That their hearts were melting with terror assured Joshua that God was indeed going before them. So I just had a few words that I wanted to say. Okay, the spies returned safely back to Joshua and gave acts of everything that had happened, informing him of Rahab protected them. And report that was given was a good report, similar to one given of Moses. Two spies reported that God had already worked on their behalf, preparing the way for Israel to take over Canaan and possess the land that God had promised Moses. Because of Rahab's faith, she was included as one of God's chosen people. God promised Abraham Israel would own the land of Canaan and bless the whole world. And Rahab was God's promise to Abraham that came true. She is listed as a hero of faith along with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She also became a founding mother of the nation of Israel. She was also one of Jesus' ancestors, as well as being a part of Jesus' family tree. But because of her faith, she was part of that branch of the family tree. It is important that we be patient, wait on the Lord, and trust him, and also be obedient. God's word and his promises never changes. And what he says he will do, he will do if we are obedient. In Genesis 21, I just wanted to bring up this story with Sarah and Abraham. He promised, God made them 4 promises, and one of them is that they would, bear a child, and they would have numerous descendants, and the blessings would be for the descendants, would be for Abraham and all of his descendants.
But if we remember the story, like I said in Genesis 21, Sarah wasn't as, can't say she wasn't obedient, but she wasn't as patient. So she took matters into her own hand for the bearing of the child, which was Ishmael. And eventually, you know, that was a disastrous and kind of a messy situation. That was kind of a jacked up story. However, still, God was true to his word. Even at the age of 90, Sarah did conceive. Her and Abraham was 100. They did conceive and have Isaac. But it's so important for us, like I said, to be patient, trust the Lord, and wait on the Lord, and be obedient. And with that, God's plan for us will prevail. All right. So did anyone have any other comments or any other discussion before we start answering the questions?
No.
Nope. All right. Okay. Well, we're going to start with the questions on page 12. And it says, the first question is, what did Joshua do to determine what the initial challenge in Cana would be?
Okay, I had on page, the very first paragraph. I mean, yeah, very first paragraph.
Okay, the on one page about 10.
On page 10.
Okay, yeah. Okay, go ahead and read that for me.
Okay, the king's order about from Joshua's Chapter 2, verse 3, in order to prepare for what he faced, Joshua sent two spies to Jericho to see what their initial challenge in Canaan would be like. They arrived, no doubt, by divine appointment at the home of Rahab the harlot, who lived on the city wall. A report was sent to the king about their presence, and he immediately took action. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you. Did anyone have anything different, or I had the same thing?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Question number two. Why is it not surprising that the king hurried to find the spy?
I have the second paragraph after under what Eric just read. It says, so much for undercover work. The presence of the spies were detected immediately. The king of Jericho, suspecting that a local prostitute might be involved in an undercover treachery, sent a message to Rahab to turn them over to the authorities. Daniel Holman, Old Testament Commentary, Joshua, Broadman, and Holman. We will soon learn that there was a great fear in the city of Jericho over the presence of the Israelites, so it was not surprising that the king hastened to take action when he heard about the two spies.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Yep.
Did anybody have anything different, or are we on the same page?
I did.
Okay.
I did, but I guess I was wrong.
Not necessarily. I could be wrong.
What did you have? What did you have?
I was right where she kind of I started where we will soon learn that there was a great fear in the city of Jericho over the presence of the Israelites. So it is not surprising that the king hastened to take action when he heard about the two spies.
Oh, that's what I had.
Good. Okay.
The king of Jericho was just in the first phase of movement. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably could have went a further where it says the threatening nation. The king knew that
I can't hear you.
I was saying I kind of went further. The king knew that Jericho was just the first phase in the movement of the threatening nation.
I don't see that. Let me see.
Yeah,
that's the third.
And in fact, I had all the way up until
the end where it says danger, where it goes all the way, you continue to read, where you read the back passage all the way to the that whole chapter.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had the same thing. I had we will soon, where it starts that, and it went all the way to the end of that, to that passage.
Oh, you took it all the way to the end?
Yeah, but I'm probably wrong because I got the same answer, Eric.
We need Reese.
I know. Where's Reese at?
So you probably wrong too, Alfonso.
I'm telling you, because I don't even know Reese not here, so I don't know.
it all sounds right to me. So,
she's our referee.
So the king was kind of really, he really knew what was going to happen, didn't he? From the other places that they had taken over. So he
was
really
afraid.
Knew that he couldn't do anything and he couldn't stop it, you know. So was that it? That he just really knew that they were coming and they were going to take over anyway, and so he didn't really know what to do. So
his thing was, he figured these are some Israelites.
He was scared too.
Yeah, he saw it was some Israelites, and he know the kind of power that they had. So yeah, he had a right to have some fear.
Yeah, but he was the king, so he was doing all he could, you know, to make them feel comfortable. But he knew that it was like doom. But he didn't just out tell them, look, y'all, we got to go or we're going to be conquered. You know, he was trying to hold his kingship.
Because, see, they were scared that this nomadic people out of the desert of nowhere, out of the wilderness, would have really a bunch of, because, you know, they was just scared to death because now they facing a whole different group than that group that came out of Egypt. This is the second generation. And so they knew when Sihon and Og was taken out, they knew they couldn't beat Sihon and Og. And here this nomadic tribe wandering in the wilderness come out and they take out Sihon and Og. He's like, well, what are we? Think about it. What kind of weapons do Israelites have? I mean, in this age, and plus, the best weapons they could muster was made out of bronze. But if you know anything about bronze, if you strike it hard enough, it'll shatter. And all the people they fought had mastered iron. And so they had iron weapons that would shatter brass weapons. So Israel was their God that they were afraid of. Because, yes, it was their God. If you listen to Rahab, she'll say, we heard what your God did, and we sure your God is God, because your God can cross Jordan rivers. Your God can take out Sihon and Og. Your God, we heard about it when Egypt got tore up. And now you've come here. These people scared to death. So, yeah, isn't that amazing? One of the things that I read in the Old Testament one time, the Lord sent fear and dread out ahead of his people. And so when people saw them, fear and dread hit those people. It wasn't Israel, because you know they was a ragtag bunch of hard-headed people. But it was their God. It's not us. It's our God. We have the same God they had. And he'll do the same things for us that he did for them. But here's the thing. We have to let him. We cannot take matters into our own hands. We have to trust God that he know who our enemies are. He know who's trying to stop us from doing what he wants us to do.
Okay.
And he knows what he wants us to have. And if somebody else got it right now, but God want to give it to us, they finna get that up.
Right. You know, it's kind of like when Jesus tells us, okay,
I need you to go to an uncomfortable place to preach, but you don't want to go. But Jesus keeps on pushing you. That's what the king was experiencing. The king was experiencing the Lord telling him, I need you to do this. And the king was saying, Lord, I'm scared to do what you want me to do because I'm afraid of what's going to happen.
Okay.
And Jesus told the king, don't worry about what's going on. Just trust me and let me lead you to where I want you to go.
Yeah, amen.
I agree with
so
that.
So that's pretty much, that's Joshua.
Yeah.
God, he had to reassure and put that trust and faith. Yeah, okay. Yeah, amen. Thank you for that. Pastor O and Pastor Terrence. All right. Okay, so we're going to go to question number 3. What did Rahab tell the king's messengers, and how much of it was the truth?
Okay, go ahead. I'd rather you go.
Go ahead, sweet.
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. The last
Come on, Ms.
paragraph.
Johnson.
Thank you, Deacon Eric. On page 10, the last paragraph and the third sentence says, she admitted that they had come to her house, but she then stated that she did not know where they had come from and that they had left when the city gate was being closed because of the approach of darkness. She then added that she did not know where they had gone, but she assured the messengers that they could probably overtake them if they hurried after them. The only bit of truth in her entire answer was that the spies had come. Everything else was a lie. And that's as far as I went for the answer.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
So I want to go back to that statement I said earlier where the wicked are not entitled to the truth if they intend to do evil when they learn it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
The wicked is not entitled to the truth. Okay.
True.
Mm-hmm. That next part is kind of important in that statement because it tells about, you know, us about lying, and he don't really want us to lie. Because he'll be the one that'll protect us through what it is that we're going through. But she was a new Christian. You know, she was an up-and-coming Christian, so he allowed that because she's still learning. But he don't expect for us to be lying, you know, because we trust in the faith that we trust in him and that he's going to get us through whatever it is that, you know, that we're going through. So. Should I read that? Because it's kind of...
Because it's saying pretty much what you're saying.
It says, we know that God desires that we be people of truth and integrity. However, he is gracious and merciful and does make allowances for new and still immature believers. He is probably more long-suffering toward them than we sometimes are. Surely we should not use Rahab's example as an excuse to lie. We must remember that the Bible sometimes records facts without giving a stamp of approval on them. But God commended Rahab's faith.
Yeah.
We can't go back and say, well, Rahab lied and God let her get away with it.
Yep, and that's true.
No, we can't.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to question number four. What agricultural practice made it possible for rehab to hide the spy?
On page 11, where it says the men's pursuit.
Okay, let me see page 11.
It says the men's pursuit. Okay. We are finally told in a parenthetic statement how Rahab managed to hide the spies from the king's messengers without being caught. When flax was harvested, it was apparently soaked in water for a few weeks to separate the fibers, after which it would be spread out in the sun to dry before being used to make linen. One of the convenient places to do this was drying. Wait a minute. One of the convenient places to do this drying was on the flat rooftops of the homes. This was where Rahab had stopped drying and was okay, and where she hid the spies. That's where I stopped. Do you guys want to go? Miss Keela, would you like to, Sister Keela, would you like to continue or stop there?
That was good.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to question five. Well, did anyone have anything different than that?
No.
No.
No. Okay. Okay,
yeah,
it says question number five.
She was able to hide them there up under all that, because this probably was a whole bunch of it, because I think they made clothes or something, or garments with that with that flax, and she was able to hide. But look,
more
they
than
didn't even go. They
it's
didn't
lot
even go.
More than a.
They didn't even go and try to see if they were there at all. Search the house.
Okay.
So, but that's how you know it was ordered by God.
It's not a lot, but it's more.
What?
It's
which
a lot
lets
of...
you know. Which lets you know that she was also not just had that other little side gig going, but she also apparently sold material to make cloaks and blankets and things like that. That's what they would use that flax for. They, you know, like I said, soak it in the weed, let the fibers come out, and then they would spin it up in the yarn, and then they would sell it. So she was really an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? She over here getting paid that, you know. Red light.
And I was going to say a hustler.
Okay.
There you go, Keith. A hustler. She was hustler. Was playing. She about to get paid. And she pretty much had a really nice space to live in, because a lot of people could get in there. I'll just say it like this because we ain't to the end of the lesson, but a lot of people could get in there. The deal that she made with them included her family. And so that meant go round up the family and bring them here, and they was all able to get up in that place. So she was doing pretty good.
Oh, okay. I'm catching what you're saying now. She allowed her family to bunker at her house.
Exactly. So, you know, because it included whoever is here. In this
right.
house, with a blanket hanging out the window. Y'all good, but to everybody else getting tore up. And they, I'll wait till we get to the end and say that.
She had the best place, because she had the rooftop. That's like, you know, like you got an upstairs, out balcony or something, and then she was right by the wall.
Right.
It was a good location, y'all. Good location.
She had that spot. Location.
Just
location.
Said, Keela, she had a good location.
Hot spot.
You can get you some clothes or whatever.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Okay, let's go to question number six. How did Rahab describe the attitudes present throughout Jericho?
That would be pretty much the last paragraph on page 11. The right-hand side says, Rahab then explained that all the inhabitants were terrorized by the presence of Israel. The word translated saint, verses 9, seems to melt. The heart had melted into her with no trace of strong, confident meaning.
Yeah,
can you continue it?
I certainly can.
Okay.
They said that they were doomed and without power to withstand what was coming. Well, they heard of Israel's previous victory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. We go to chapter number 7. How did Rahab help the spies get out of the city?
Okay, that's the first paragraph on page 12. It says, Rahab let the men down the wall outside her window by means of a rope. The location of her home was significant, and another reason God took the spies to her. The house, with its location on the city wall, became an avenue of escape for them.
Yeah. Amen.
What number were we on?
7.
That was number 7.
Oh, 7, okay.
Yeah, did anybody have anything else? Because that's exactly what I had.
Okay.
Okay.
Did not say
right.
Nothing, Eric.
I'm just messing with you. You're all right, Eric. I'm here by your side, partner.
He ain't heard it. He probably went, Eric. He even went off on something. Okay. Question
right.
Number 8. What did Rahab advise them to do? Question number 8.
Paragraph
up under
what my wife
was. That's on page 12. Where it says, Rahab's advice. It says on the second paragraph or first paragraph at the top. Rahab's advice was that the spies hide in the nearby mountain for 3 days, allowing plenty of time for the pursuers to do their searching for them and then return to the city. This showed her concern for their safety because, for all she knew, they might simply try to sneak back to the Jordan immediately and get caught in the process.
Yeah. Amen. That's what I had as well.
Yeah.
Okay. We go to question number 9. When the spies returned, what did they first tell Joshua?
Down in the bottom, down in the bottom of page 12, where it says when the spies arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When the spies arrived, they immediately sought out Joshua and gave him a detailed accounting of all that had happened to them. This would have included their being led to the house of Rahab, their being hidden by her, her luring them from the window in her home, their promise to her, and they stayed on the mountain. And their stay on the mountain. So everything that had transpired, they explained it all to Joshua. He didn't leave nothing out. Her taking them in, her hiding them, her luring them down, and then tell them to go stay up in the mountains. They had told all of that to Joshua.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
All right. Okay, question number 10. You nailed it, Eric. You nailed it. Okay.
Thank you.
Question number 10.
I learned that from Pastor O.
Okay, question number 10. We made it, y'all. Thank y'all so much. This last question. What conclusions about moving ahead did they share with Joshua?
Let me see if I got the right answer there.
Now, I started that one in this last paragraph where it say these two spies.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
It says, these two spies told Joshua that the Lord had already prepared the way for Israel to take the land of Canaan. In fact, they said God was giving them all the land. They then used almost the same words Rahab had used in describing how terrified the inhabitants of the land were. Their hearts were melting with terror, assured Joshua that God was indeed going before them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So that was right. Okay. Confirmation. He got confirmation by them using the same words.
Mm-hmm.
And that was proof that the Lord had went ahead of them to start the work.
Yeah. Often heard and said that if the Lord wants you to do something, he'll make a way for you.
Yeah.
Were those spies really looking for him? Because, one, they didn't find him, and then they didn't even check her house. So it was like everybody was so nonchalant about, you know, what they were doing because they knew that they were going to be, I guess, taken over eventually.
Yeah,
no, that's a good point because they did not check the rooftop, which you would have thought that they would have, but they didn't even bother to check the rooftop.
Or the house at all. They didn't even
know. Even if they had checked the rooftop, they were covered up with the flax.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even attempt. You know what? They was here. Yep, they was here. It was two of them. I think they left by the city gate, and they went for it. The Lord did that same thing with Gideon. He made them people hear something. And they heard something that sounded like horses, and they started killing each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
It sounded like thunder or something.
Exactly. So when she
probably
said, "Oh, we got to believe her. She's telling the truth." And then they jumped on the horses and took off. I mean, the Lord.
But she's a harlot, and they believe in her.
Even though this is not Israel, okay? In their culture, women couldn't even go to court and testify, and so. Somehow they listening, unless they was reckless. They might have been reckless. So I don't know. So, whatever the case is, God gave her a great favor because she wanted to protect his people. And, she was awesome. Rahab was awesome. She made her way into the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, she's right in verse, 6 or 7. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, go back to verse 5 and 6. Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Okay, we got some background noise going there. Okay, we'll try that. Ram, the father of Amminadab, the father of Nahashon, the father of Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And you know the rest that leads all the way up to Jesus. Talking about and look at her face. Itty bitty faith, and she's in the house and lineage of Jesus Christ himself. This also shows, because women never make it into these genealogies, but you see Tamar, you see Bathsheba, you see, Tamar, Hagar, Bathsheba, and Rahab, and Ruth. You see all these women over here in this genealogy, and I know that kind of tripped the Israelites out when they read Matthew's gospel because women never got a mention, okay? But these women made it into the lineage, the accounting, and that's some awesome stuff right there. God can use anybody. It doesn't matter where you come from.
Hey,
it just matters who.
Please move.
It matters
yeah.
who he is. Yeah, they were like building a house or a couple of them. So they were building a house. Yeah, erecting an Empire State Building kind of thing.
But
never make it as a pastor. If you don't make it as a pastor, they got a comedy show for you.
Listen, it wasn't my phone. Praise be to God, because I got a new one. I'm still learning how to work it, but I have a question. Is that why some modern day men pastors have a problem with women being pastors or speaking in the pulpit?
That's exactly why they feel like men are the heads, and that's, you know, it's because it's God's alignment in 1 Corinthians 11. It's Adam, then Eve. But what they don't, God does whatever he wants to. He there was a whole bunch of men in that city that the Lord could have picked to do the same thing that he did with Rahab. But the Lord chose Rahab because God is stealth. Okay, who's going to believe a woman? And this kind of woman, and what kind of God, the way they've heard about God, would be involved with this kind of woman? And so they just couldn't put two and two together because it wasn't making sense to them. And so, yeah, God, yes, a lot of that, they you know, if you're talking about men, preachers, pastors who say women can't preach, they have a problem with Deborah. Because she was a judge in Israel. She was not any other different kind of judge than any of the others. But since God has his alignment, she had a husband. And she was under her husband. And even Barak, who was the leader of the army,
she submitted
herself to him. And said, God wants to give the glory to a man. What is wrong with you? And if you go, I go. But if I go, then God going to give the glory to a woman. Well, if you go, I go. And that's what happened. Deborah made Sisera so scared when he was riding down that mountain, he jumped off them chariots. And then he ran to Moses' cousin, a Kenite, and to his wife, Jael. Not to the husband. He didn't put the tent peg through Sisera's head. It was Jael. So when men abdicate their position, God can use whoever he wants, and nobody can tell him he can't. Look what he did with Joyce Myers. Women can't preach. She preaches 6 billion people a day. Okay, so tell me, one time a preacher told me that Joyce Myers had led a lot of people to Christ and taught a lot of people in Christ, but God going to punish her because she called herself a preacher. I'm like, because she need millions. Because she called herself a preacher. I say, so you're telling me, even though she lead millions to Christ, teach millions in Christ, put clean water in homes where they was drinking malaria-infested water, God's going to punish her because she say she a preacher? Really? You know, but God does whatever he wants to do. He don't care what men say or what they think. He'll pick anybody he want and put them out there, and can't nobody stop him. And he just lets you talk. But you're right, Keel. That's a whole lot of men just love to. We are the leaders. We are the heads. Okay, we was created first, and the woman was created second. But if a woman operates under that man, she can. Like Dave Myers is the head of the house. But Joyce Myers is the mouth of the house, so and it works.
Hey,
Dave, like, please, I ain't crazy. God using her, you using her. Glory be to God.
Right.
But these women, you know, that trips out like, you're right, Keela. A lot of men, and especially in Jesus' day, well, after the Gospels were written, and they read Matthew's gospel, and they saw, and them Jews who had become Christians, even them, when they saw them women's name in that genealogy, they was like, wait a minute, what is this? Well, that never happens. You never see that. But in Jesus' genealogy, there's four of them in there. And you can't deny them. And they four women that everybody know. If you don't know none of the women.
Oh. When I came up to Pastor I had out in Romulus, he was deaf on that. If they people would come from different churches and their part of their ministerial staff had women, he would say they would have to sit on that front row. They couldn't sit up in the pulpit.
That's the way it is at my home church, First Baptist. You can sit on the first row. Yeah, I saw you out there. Well, you dress up real nice. Yeah.
That's my. I got that at Value World. Is that it? Yeah, Value World on Dix.
The superstore.
Oh, forgive me, Lord. I don't want to be lying. No, thank you. I'm going to leave it like that. Yeah, you about to get me in some trouble. But yeah, thank you. That Rahab, though, she, I've been hearing that name for years, but I never heard her get the notoriety like she got while we've been studying this. I mean, yeah, I've heard you preach about her before and others too. But the way Keela broke it down and made some explanations today, or this book helped us, it was very informative to me to enhance what I've already heard about Rahab. And thank you, Miss something.
Freeman.
Oh, Freeman. That's
real
right. Freeman. Yeah.
Miss Slum, we found.
That is a mess.
She got it right. I let her get it right. I want her to get it right.
Well, I would like to thank everybody for participating. It took so good. So it just warms my heart. Just thank you guys so much. And it's always a delight to study his word and to learn, and hopefully something that we review, like Eric said, that, Deacon Eric, you know, when you hear the stories or sometimes you hear them over and over, you get a different meaning. To me,
right,
I get a different meaning each time. And, you know, because we hear stories. I've been hearing them for so long. But to really have a good understanding and really know, get
the
to know the word, the story. It's just a beautiful thing. But I want to thank everybody for participating tonight.
Keely, are you going to read the Golden Text Illuminated or ask somebody to read it?
You can. I did read it. I read it already, but you can read it.
Oh, the
Golden Text.
Oh, okay. That's it.
No, we read the Golden Text, but we didn't read the Golden Text Illuminated.
Oh,
the Golden Text.
Page 13.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see.
Page 13.
Oh, okay. All right. You want to read it?
Okay. It says, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Joshua 2:24. This week's Golden Text confirms the Lord's promise to Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Joshua 1:2-5. In obedience, Joshua had sent two spies to the land of Shittim and the city of Jericho on a scouting mission. 2:1. Upon their return, the spies excitedly reported their experiences to Joshua and concluded by proclaiming
all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Rahab, the woman who risked her life to hide the spies, had given them this choice piece of insider information. She told them, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror is falling upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. 2:9. When the men returned to Joshua, their report was very different from the negative one that had been given years before. Numbers 13:14. The words from these two spies were full of faith. It was a passionate confirmation of the promises God had made to Joshua and the whole nation. By faith, Israel would now obey God's directives. Do we have the faith to act confidently on God's promises?
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. 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 You know, can you imagine what those folks thought of Rahab, Israel, for the rest of, you know, as long as she was with them, and then to marry? Some scholars say that Solomon was the first man run ahead over into Jericho, and when he did, Rahab was who he was after to be his wife, and they got married, and we know the rest of the story. So this is some awesome stuff. Can you imagine that? I mean, what she had to be, went from overnight a prostitute and probably a linen seller. Okay, and now she's married to one of the most influential men in all of Israel. That is unbelievable, and somehow makes it right into the house and lineage of Jesus the Christ. That is some awesome stuff. God is awesome. If that don't show you that, number one, God fully intends to use women in his word. He fully intends to do that without a doubt, and he's doing it. Okay, and we've seen it, right? And that God can take anybody and instantly make them a somebody. And then then it's come full circle, right? They are who they are because of God, because of their relationship with him. Like Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. And she become this lady who went from harlot. And everywhere through the Bible, they don't leave out the fact that she was a harlot. But it just speaks to God's mercy, his loving kindness, that even if you're a harlot living in a pagan city, you can come to faith in God. I heard somebody say they didn't have a Bible. She didn't have no Bible. There wasn't even one written, and they definitely didn't have what Moses wrote down. Only Israel had that. But what she had was what she heard about what their God did. And she came to faith that your God is God. I think that's what she said, that your God is God. And when she said that, that was a declaration of her faith in God. And everything she did behind that demonstrated faith in God, even though it was up and coming. So that tells you that up and coming faith is powerful. Mustard seed faith is powerful. And even though we know she was not perfect in any way, shape, or form, but when it came to the Lord and doing something for him, she got it done. She got it done. And God rewarded her. I mean, talking about the thief on the cross, witness to people all the time. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. A thief who died on the cross for thievery. Remember me. And this day you'll be with me in paradise. Even though he just got saved on the cross and then died, he's still preaching today. Just like Rahab.
Last minute shopping.
Biblical sheroes.
Biblical hero, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. There's a lot of men in that city. If the Lord was so into men, he could have got one of them, but he got her. And that's why I keep saying I always look for, you know, it's easy to see she was a harlot. Everybody knew that, right? She sold some linen. Everybody knew that. But what did the Lord see? He saw more than that, and he said when he guided his spies to her house because she was the one the Lord needed at that time, and he knew she would be all in, and he rewarded her. We talking about her today. And Jericho wasn't last week, okay, but we still talking about her today. How many people have come and gone? We ain't talking about them, but we talking about this old harlot who became a shero.
That's why we say God is awesome. He's an awesome God. He's definitely in control.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he got this thing all worked out. I mean, Rahab, you know, everything was all worked out. Didn't nobody know nobody, didn't have to know nobody. Just God had it worked out. He knew you're going to meet them, they're going to meet you, y'all going to do this, this going to get done, boom. And next week, I think Rebecca teaching next week, we are going to Jericho.
I'm excited.
Then they going to see what they were so scared of. I was thinking, for a little while, it's going to seem like them people crazy. But boy, oh boy, praising God will make it happen. Okay, Keela, whenever you get ready, you can have your words and then pray us up and, or whatever, and we'll be good.
All right. Again, like I said, thanks everyone for the participation. So we're going to go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for the blessing of the reading of your word together, and we ask that these words of life, truth, and hope will continue to impact us in the week ahead. May your love and your grace follow each of us as we return to our daily lives, refreshed and blessed by you. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, today is Wednesday, so we know Bring Back the Family is happening Friday. And this Saturday is the third Saturday, so we know Elder Joseph Stevens will be in the preacher seat.
Okay.
Looks like we're going to have five Saturdays this month. Oh, Lachelle's coming back. Okay. And then, of course, Sunday, I'll be preaching, and we go into part two of love. So, Rebecca, read every verse after verse 10.
Got it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So we've had an awesome night. This has been awesome. Keela, you did an awesome job, really brought out everything. I know everybody in Blog Talk Radio world, they don't have a book, but because we read everything in the book, they were able to come along with us. And so when the questions started to be asked, they could actually give answers. And that's real big in them because we not only have people at Running for Christ listening, there's people all over the United States. And real quick, let me do a quick check so I don't tell no lies. Okay, we got people, of course, the United States, South Korea, United Kingdom, Brazil, and Japan, and a whole other places. And we've even very small percentage, very small, almost 1% in Russia. I don't know what's going on with that, but it's happening. Forever, when I look at this map that I'm looking at right now, it was not blue, it was red. And that means we're not there. Okay, or it's gray. That means we're not there. Okay, but we have somehow gotten into Russia. I don't know how that happened, but we're there. So all those people who don't have this book, they can get it. And if you're listening and you don't have a book, you want to get it, go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on Bible classes. And there's a link there. Just click that link. You are immediately there where you can get the book. Okay? God bless you. God keep you. Amen. Awesome class. Thank you again, Keela, for putting the work in and for the extras. I love it when I hear the extras. That means you went the extra mile and grabbed another book and got some more information to bring to the people. And that's awesome stuff. Amen.
Pastor,
God bless.
Thank you.
Yes.
You forgot the Tuesday.
Okay. Oh, well, that's next week. We had that yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I thought you meant, you were mentioning it Saturday. My bad.
Right. That comes up Saturday for Tuesday.
Okay. My bad. I shut
and that's,
up.
That's Chris. That would be Crystal.
Okay. Gotcha.
Amen. All right, I'm trying to find a song here. Okay, and where did it go?
Sing.
Okay, I found it.
Y'all heard that? You see the pastor don't treat me right. Y'all heard that?
Y'all,
I wanted to blow y'all a tuck.
Amen.
Such a song. All right. All of me should move out of you decide. Come sit back and enjoy the ride. Feel a real moonlight. Put some things on the sun through the darkest nights. Love it when you try. Come sit back and enjoy the ride.
When I tried it my way, it was all wrong. All the friends that I had, they were long gone. Did the best that I could, try to be strong. Thought about letting go, but I held on. Now I need you to choose how I should move. By your side, that's the win, and we can't lose. Still, I'ma need your strength when I get weak. So you can drive, I'ma ride in the backseat. Know where you take me,
yeah.
I know I won't always understand,
yeah.
Where we're going, but I'll take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it gets confused,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you do. When the road got dark, yeah, split the path to the green grass. Dead and I follow, chasing right after you. And that's the truth, I won't last a minute. I need more of it. Feels like we'll be done when you call outside. Till your kingdom comes, got this race to run, yeah.
Yeah,
I know I won't always understand. But I'll take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it gets confusing,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you choose.
Trust is all for you. We should know how you decide.
Can't decide,
'cause I'm tired of fighting. I'll sit back and enjoy the ride.
And it's been so long,
been a real long time
since I've seen sunshine
through the darkest
through the dark.
Love the ride.